Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Dr. Skip with our host, Professor P. Welcome back to Backstabbers Anonymous. Our special guest spotlight is Mr. Judas Iscariot. Judas? Judas! Are you here today? Well, normally we would say, welcome, Judas, but our special guest is nowhere to be found. I heard he was dying to be here. But don't worry, we have his performance on file, and we'll move right along without him. You see, many years ago, Judas's life accomplishments were published in Mark's Gospel. His first appearance was after Jesus went on the mountain and name-dropped the individuals he wanted to follow him. Imagine Jesus calling out some names while the crowd is hanging on to his every word. Jesus may have shouted out,
"Listen for your name, Simon, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, not you, the other James. Not you either, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, no, the other Simon, Zealot, and last but not least, Judas. Nope, not you, Judas Iscariot."
Wow, would you look at that? Judas made the cut after all. I guess this is the start of his fame. Excuse me. Hello? Yes, I'm she. They said what? No, they couldn't have said that. Who said it? A good friend of mine? Who? It's anonymous? Well, listen here. No friend of mine would ever do a thing like that. A backstabber, you say? Are you sure? Listen, okay, I'll meet you right now so we can get down to the bottom of this anonymous backstabbing friend. You'll have to excuse me. An important matter just came up, but Professor P will take over.
I don't mind taking over. Wow, I just can't believe it. What, for the first time in our studio audience history, we've had a first. We've discovered a lot of backstabbers. We've had a lot of backstabbers over the years on the show. But this time, this is the first time that it's happened to one of our staff. Oh boy, backstabbers are everywhere. You may be sitting next to one right now. Okay, where were we? Oh yes, Judas. I remember. I wish he was here today. I heard he was dying to be here. But this Judas guy. For Judas to have his name called as a disciple is like having your name inducted on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Judas makes it into a small group of 13, hear me now, 13 young strangers, one of which will change the world through his life, his death, and resurrection. This small group, over the next 3.5 years, as you can imagine, get to know a little more about each other as the days, weeks, and months go on. Similarly, maybe you've been in a school before. Show me your hand if you've ever been in a school. Whenever you're in a new school, you meet new people, right? But it takes a little while to getting used to. You don't want to give your peanut butter and jelly right away on the first day. You got to find a name. Find a friend in the sand lot, and you play together. You throw some sand in the air. Gets a little in your eye, and then you guys are buddies forever. Well, that's just how this story was. These little guys, a small group of 13, one rabbi, which is a teacher if you didn't know, and 12 students begin to, you can dim it back. You didn't hear me say that. And 12 students begin a bond as they travel town to town and stay in house to house and boat to boat, but no place of their own. Just them. There we go. Unless the camera can't see me. So close that Jesus calls these 12 young men brothers. Do you have any brothers? Show me your hands if you have any brothers. Do you have anybody in your life? Hands down. Good job. You guys are a great studio audience. Do you have anybody in your life that's like a brother to you? Show me your hand. All right. You just won a prize. Your hand in the air. You got a little exercise. Well, these brothers here, even Judas, one of the 12, considered a brother to Jesus as they traveled together to do God's will. This means a lot considering Jesus already had real brothers. In fact, his brothers' names were James, Joseph, Simon, and one named, you guessed it, Judas. A real brother named Judas. I would imagine if Jesus put together a family reunion, Judas Iscariot, along with the other 11 disciples, would make the invite list. I believe this even more because when Jesus went to Jerusalem to have the Passover meal, you may have heard of that, which later becomes the last dinner. Imagine your last dinner. You probably want something great. This is the last dinner he would eat before death. People used to say, what do you want on your tombstone? And in the commercial, making a funny, the guy would say, I want cheese on my pizza. The tombstone pizza, that is. Jesus doesn't call his mom, his dad, his brothers or his sisters to have one last meal with him. They don't sit down for macaroni and cheese, greens, or lamb together. Instead, he wanted to eat the meal with his disciples. Can you believe that? He wanted to eat the meal with his disciples. This loving family-style dinner to celebrate Passover is held just prior to his crucifixion. That's a new word for you. Can you visualize the bond they found as they formed together as co-workers in ministry? Yes, I've said it here. Judas was in ministry. Which makes it that much tougher when Mark reveals a side of Judas that has yet to be seen. Judas so far has been an outstanding guy. The best of the best. He made it into the top 12. If he was number 13, he would have been cut from the list. He would have just been another contestant gone home without any prizes. But he is number 12 and he makes it right in. This same Judas that made it right in, Judas would sabotage Jesus. Judas, as we say back home, he is a backstabber. Backstabber. Maybe even the subject matter expert. But no one knows so far that he's a backstabber. He's been able to keep this side of him anonymous and plans to keep it that way. This Judas Iscariot was in ministry, hear me now, for 3.5 years. That's a long time. 3.5 years with his friends and turns on one of his closest friends. Within 2 days of this Passover meal, he secretly, just kind of tiptoed, if you will, went out to the leading priest to arrange to backstab Jesus. The dictionary defines backstabbing as the action or practice of criticizing someone in a treacherous manner while feigning friendship. In other words, you're buddy-buddy, BFFs. and then you go and stab him right in the back. Ask Bruce Wayne. He knows a thing or two about this. He was betrayed by two women, not one, but two women in his life, both of which he loved. It was no secret that Bane wanted to kill Batman. And Batman enlists the help of a criminal named Catwoman to help him find Bane. And she leads him all through this little winding tunnel right up there. And she says, just a little further. And Batman steps a little further and a gate falls right behind him and Catwoman, separating the two. And he turns and says, what have you done? He realized that he was betrayed. Somebody out there say betrayed. Another word for betrayed is backstabbing. Say backstabbing. Batman was betrayed by Catwoman, a woman that he had fallen in love with. But that's not the end of the Batman story. Batman was going after this man named Bane, trying to save a woman that he also loved named Miranda. This Miranda Tate was working on a project and he just wanted to help her out. And she was kidnapped, taken hostage. And Batman was doing everything that he could to get this Miranda back, the second love of his life. And he finally gets Bane against the wall, and then he's beating him down, and he almost has Bane right where he wants him. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a voice speaks to Batman, and a knife literally goes in his back, and figuratively at the same time, it was Miranda, backstabbed by two women. It was no secret that Bane wanted Batman gone, and Miranda betrayed him to Bane because she was working with Bane since childhood anonymously. Backstabbers Anonymous. For the last 3.5 years, as we're talking about Mr. Judas here, it has been no secret that the majority of the leading priests, scribes, and Pharisees did not, do not, and I will unequivocally say, will not like Jesus. They cannot tolerate Jesus, and they want him D-E-A-D dead. They desperately wanted Jesus captured and killed with a capital K. Their efforts to apprehend Jesus were unsuccessful. One day, that is, it was like an evil gift just floated from the sky right into their hands. Judas, for some reason, went to them. Why, Judas, why? I wish you were here today. He went to the enemy, and by doing so became the enemy too. A backstabber at the highest rank, while still being anonymous to Jesus and the disciples. It makes me wonder, why did Judas decide to carry out this evil backstabbing plan after 3.5 years with this wonderful Jesus? Why wait so long to backstab a friend and a brother? If he felt he had to do it, why not do it on day number one? Or maybe on month number one, or maybe on year number one. Why not on year number two or year number three? Why wait 3.5 years to make your move on a brother, a friend, and a teacher? Moreover, why be a backstabber at all? Maybe you're asking yourself the same question. What have I been doing anonymously? Who have I been stabbing in the back? Oh, I guess we got one or two here in the studio audience today. For the last 3.5 years, if anyone knows Jesus and what he's capable of and about his marvelous Messiah mission, Judas is definitely one. Listen here. Judas has heard the parables with his own ears. Judas saw Jesus calm down the wind and the waves with three words. You hear me? 1, 2, 3 words. Judas was present when the demon-possessed were healed. Judas was there when the woman was healed after 12 years with a blood disorder. Judas was there as a waiter. Did you know it? He, in his resume, he was a waiter before. He served bread and fish to thousands, twice. Not once, but twice. Judas was there when Jesus used the water as a sidewalk in the middle of the lake. Judas was there. If anybody knows Jesus, it's Judas. Judas was there when the blind were made to see and the deaf were made to hear. Judas was there when Jesus predicted his own death and said he would rise again. Now that's a bad man who says they know when they're going to die and when they're going to live again. So why would Judas backstab someone who knows they're going to die but will live again? He must be crazy. But that brings me to number one before we get out of here. Number one. I know you didn't come here without your notes or your phones. Number one, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. Number one, again, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. We want to give you some prizes as you are here today, and this is your first prize. Know this as a fact, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. To make matters worse, for the last 3.5 years, Judas had an authentic authority twice from Jesus to cast out demons and the authority to preach. He was a preacher. Young Judas, you may not know this about him, but he was a preacher and he had the authority to cast out demons. Did he do it? Oh, yes, he did. Did he use this authority? Oh, yes, he did. He sure did. And he was successful. Judas went with another disciple in a pair, that's 1-2, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins. How ironic. And to turn to God. I wonder if he would do so as well. I guess he doesn't practice what he preaches. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. After all of the eyewitnesses events that Judas personally saw and did, somehow, he still was moved to be a backstabber anonymously. A backstabber of Jesus before the Passover. Number one, here's your free gift. I'll give it to you again. Number one, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. When Judas went to the priest to arrange to betray Jesus to them, they were delighted when they heard why he had come. Number two, backstabbing brings bad company. Backstabbing brings bad company. To the priest, Judas was their inside man. No one knew the schedule and plans of Jesus better than one of his disciples. So who better to blindly lead Jesus into a hidden trap, just like Batman here, than one of his trusted disciple brothers? The priests were so elated that Judas had come to them for help to backstab Jesus that they offered Judas some money as a reward for his backstabbing beginnings accomplishments. So Judas wasted no time, as you can imagine, and he immediately started searching for an opportunity to backstab Jesus. So I got to tell you, number three, here's your third gift. Number three, friends aren't the only casualty in backstabbing. That's right. You heard it right here. Friends aren't the only casualty in backstabbing. Finally, before we go to our commercial break, at the expected last dinner with his disciples and brothers and his friends of 3.5 years, Jesus keeps no secrets and he tells all. What is this? Oh, what does he know? I'm curious. Jesus said that he knows one of them eating with him at the table is a backstabber. This whole time it's been anonymous, but it seems like someone knows. The one who knows everything knows that someone will be a backstabber. Without hesitation, Judas invokes his right to remain silent and, of course, anonymous when he could confess. He eventually asked the question, am I the one with the other disciples in turn? A question he knew, and Jesus knew the real answer. For the first time, Jesus reveals that the backstabber is in the room. He's right here eating with us, drinking with us. He's been around us the whole time, and we didn't know, or you didn't know. He's been preaching, casting out demons. He'd been on all of this ministry for 3.5 years, but the backstabber was right here the whole time. As a brother and as a friend, the backstabber was here. And Jesus reveals him right in the midst, no longer anonymous to Jesus, at least, as Judas thought. He digs himself deeper into a pit of backstabbing casualty by trying to remain anonymous to the other disciples, and more so by continuing out with his plans. Following dinner, Jesus went to pray, which is a good thing to do. And during his prayer, if you believe it or not, during his prayer, the backstabber arrives. And he doesn't just come by himself. He brings a mob of people with him to capture one man, his brother and friend, Jesus. Judas does his final backstabbing performance, placing a greeting kiss on Jesus as if they're still BFFs. But in reality, it was a kiss of death because it was a secret signal to grab whomever Judas kissed. This kiss signified the end of his anonymous backstabbing to the disciples present and the end of Judas as well. This was his final act. Judas soon after learned that Jesus wasn't the only casualty of backstabbing, but unfortunately Judas would be a casualty too. So watch out and listen up, because if you backstab, you will be a casualty too. Not just a person you're going after. Number three, I'll give you that third gift one more time before we go to our first commercial break. Number three, friends aren't the only casualty in backstabbing. Well, if you're a first-time backstabber anonymous or a backstabbing anonymous professional, I hope you learn from the life of Judas how to quit backstabbing. Remember these helpful tips as you encourage yourself to give up this evil lifestyle. Remember number one, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. Number two, backstabbing brings bad company. And number three, my favorite, friends aren't the only casualty in backstabbing. If you don't get rid of backstabbing, backstabbing will get rid of you.
I just want to thank Professor P for being with us and Dr. Skip. They did an awesome job. Man, it's always good to have guests in the house of the Lord. And maybe some of you have been out there backstabbing individuals, as he was talking about. And you thought you were getting away with it. But I want to let you know in this last 7 minutes and 23 seconds, somebody knows you're doing it. And if you don't give it up, it will give you up. So I'm just going to invite you to, wherever you are, just to stand and ask God to help you have a changed heart. Help you not to be like Mr. Judas. Don't be a backstabber. Remember, backstabbing pulls you down spiritually. Backstabbing brings bad company. And friends aren't the only casualty in backstabbing. This is Backstabbers Anonymous. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved Judas, even though Judas was going to give him up. Who still went to the cross when there was a backstabber with him for 3.5 years. Not only for Judas, but for us and our backstabbing selves too. We betray our brothers and sisters right here in this house, and we betray our brothers and sisters at home in our real house. We're not even worthy to be here in your presence today, God, but that's grace and that's mercy. And we're so thankful for that. As they're standing, God, we're praying that you would forgive them of their sins. Forgive me of my sins. Help us to be more like Jesus and less like Judas. In Jesus' name, I claim this. Amen. Amen. Amen.